Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 31, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna. Text 22. Bandhunam nastagotranam Arjuna samparayikam Patanam kariyam asa yatavat anupurvasa. Arjuna then saw to it that the funeral rites were properly carried out for the dead who had no remaining male family members. He executed the required ceremonies for each of the Yadus, one after another. And then text 23. Dwarakam harina chaktam
Dwarakam harina chaktam
Samudra plavayaksana
Samudra plavayaksana
Jayitva Maharaja
Jayitva Maharaja
Srimad Bhagavatalayam
Srimad Bhagavatalayam.
As soon as Dwarka was abandoned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean flooded it on all sides, O King, sparing only his palace. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that whereas the external manifestation of the Lord's abode was covered by the ocean, the Lord's eternal Dwarka exists beyond the material universe and certainly beyond the material ocean. Dwarka has been constructed by Vishvakarma, the architect of the demigods, and the Sudharma assembly hall had been brought from heaven. In that city there were many beautiful and splendorous residences of the aristocratic Yadu dynasty, and the most beautiful residence of all was that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that even in the modern age, people who live near the site of the original Dwarka sometimes catch a glimpse of it in the ocean. Ultimately, the Lord's associates and abodes are eternal, and one who understands this is qualified to become fully Krishna conscious. So this chapter entitled The Disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna is known as the Mausalya Lila. The Mausalya Lila is referring to the winding up of Krishna's pastimes, Niroda. So the Mausalya Lila is there to bewilder the atheists who think that Krishna is an ordinary man and who think that anything related to Krishna is just under the influence of time and just like in the case of everyone else. And they say, see, Dwarka also, it was just destroyed by the waves, and in this way it proves that Krishna is an ordinary man. The devotee who develops somewhat more refined intelligence is looking at the situation and saying, as soon as Krishna abandoned Dwarka, the ocean just suddenly flooded Dwarka. That in itself is already kind of extraordinary. Why didn't it flood in any other time? Why exactly when he abandoned Dwarka? And then the other thing is, it flooded entire Dwarka, but not his palace, as is stated here. So that is also, again, something extraordinary. Why just Krishna's palace? So, some indications that actually, to the devotee, from Krishna is not really under the influence of the material nature, of which we had no doubt. Avajanati Mamuda, it's the Muda who thinks that Krishna has taken on a material body of this world, and the Muda doesn't understand Paramavyayam, his transcendental nature. Devotees can see that the external covering or the external manifestation of Dwarka is destroyed. The Dham has an external manifestation, in that external manifestation is under the influence of time. His external manifestation is a manifestation of the Yogamaya energy of Krishna. But the eternal aspect of Dwarka still remains, but only to see for those who are Jivan Muktas, who are qualified, who are liberated from the illusory energy. Oh, that is the case. So we understand it like that. And that we understand, that this is the way to at least theoretically remember this. And by theoretically remembering this, we gradually develop that full vision of Krishna. Now we are in the conditioned state, and therefore we're practicing devotional service and still not seeing Krishna, not seeing the spiritual world, not seeing the transcendental plane, although we can see transcendental elements in our life. We can clearly see how Krishna is acting. We can see how there's divine intervention on the material platform. And in this way we see the transcendental. We see how devotees are under the protection of Krishna. And we see how Krishna makes arrangements for them. And we see so many examples. So in this way, there is plenty of confirmation that somehow or other Krishna is caring for his devotees. So our faith is reconfirmed by that. But we cannot fully see. We cannot actually look into the spiritual world. Although there are Vaishnavas who can exactly do so. It is said that in the stage of bhava, Krishna begins to manifest himself to the devotee. Krishna actually starts to become visible to the devotee. And then the devotee becomes prema ruruksu, and he begins to approach Krishna prema. And as he is approaching Krishna prema, he becomes aware of the varanadasa, or the 11 symptoms that define the spiritual identity. My memory cannot remember lists of 11, so you can't rattle off the full list of 11 symptoms without a piece of paper. But they include such symptoms as one's age, one's particular spiritual body, the particular spiritual family that one belongs to. Like that, there are certain symptoms, because in the spiritual world one also has a family, and one belongs to a certain family. Just like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we see how not Swarup, but Sarup was returning back to the spiritual world. Swarup, he will stay a little longer here. We hope. That will be good. He can't go yet. But Sarup went, and when he came there, he was there in the family of Srimati Radharani, extended family. Not bad. In this way, therefore she was specially merciful to him. And there was an arrangement that Krishna was being served sweets that had been cooked by Radharani, and Krishna made a face as if they were horrible, and then threw him off his plate, and then they landed on the plate of Sarup, who tasted them, and they were very tasty. And Radharani was not upset, because she understood, because he's my family member, he gets some special mercy. Krishna is especially inclined towards the family members of his dear devotees. Just like Ramananda Roy had a few brothers, and these brothers were automatically getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because they were brothers of Ramananda Roy. So if your brother is a great devotee, then you're doing good. work on that. If you don't do it yourself, then your brother should do it. So when the whole family is a family of devotees, then that's very good, because then there's always someone who's got some credit with Krishna. So that helps, you know. I'm the brother or the sister of. In that way, you can you get an extra support for entering into the spiritual world. But no need to worry, because spiritual connections also count. In India today, it is still the custom, based on Vedic tradition, to, when you fill out any government form, they ask for father's name. What is your name? Father's name, right? Always has to be asked, because in that way you can understand a person's family lineage. But instead of father's name, you can also put guru's name. That also counts. It's legal, even in court. You know, like, I used to buy land documents and then disciple of, you know, right? And like that, you know, you can mention your guru instead of your father, and that counts. That's okay. That's bona fide. So in that way, India is still enlightened, right? Because it is bona fide. It's a bona fide connection, an auspicious connection, which connects us with Krishna. It is giving us a designation, just like your father's name. You know, he is a Munilal. Munilal gives you a particular designation, right? Then you know, okay, acha. Oh, I see. A Munilal. Like that. But if you've been in India for a long time, then by the name, you know everything. Oh, I see. I see. And as soon as we hear the name of Guru, then we know everything. Vaishnava. Yes, we know his gotra, Achyuta gotra. We can look at many gotras, Gautama Muni, coming from Bharadwaj Muni, different gotras. So yes, my gotra, Parasar gotra. I know someone in Parasar gotra. One disciple, Parasar Gotra. So, yes, Brahman in the line of Parasar Muni, father of Vyasadeva. What more do you want? What more do you want? You want to come in another lineage. You want to come in the Achyuta Gotra. The Achyuta Gotra is the best of all Gotras, the best of all lineages. The Achyuta Gotra is the infallible lineage. It is the lineage that has no fault. That is the lineage coming from Krishna, Achyuta Gotra. So anyone who takes initiation in the Sampradaya coming from Krishna is in that Achyuta Gotra. So if anyone ever asks, what is your Gotra? Best Gotra. Our Gotra is the infallible Gotra. The Achyuta Gotra. Achyuta. I'm happy about that, because before I was in this movement, I once visited Gaya, the place where also Lord Chaitanya went to perform. And I visited that place of pilgrimage, and I stayed in some dharamshala, and then they asked me, what is your gotra? And I said, in the West, we don't really do that. And then he said, okay. I had to fill up his register. He said, write Jat, you know, which translates as Aboriginal. I was classified as Aboriginal. So... one day I'll go back there and tell him now. Achyuta. I'll get them back.
with pride. Right? Yes. We can be proud. Right? We can be proud. You thought that Vaishnavas were only supposed to be humble, but no. We can be very proud of our family lineage. That's fine. That's fine. That's not that we are proud on our own qualification, but we are proud of this wonderful connection that we have with all these great personalities. We're proud of them, not of ourselves. In this way, we appreciate. So, Dwarka is a transcendental place. But it's said that Krishna Surya Sam, Krishna is like the sun who appears in this world, and the sun that rises and the sun that sets. Right? Every night, the sun sets, and in that way, it looks like the sun disappears. But you know, if you fly on an east-west route, right, then you can sort of keep up with the sun. I have flown from Australia towards India and had like a 6-hour sunrise or something like that. The sun kept on rising, it never stopped, you know. And it was fine, and the sun was rising. It's just chanting Gayatri all the time. What to do? It goes like that. Strange things happen when you fly. If you strategically go over the deadline, then you could miss Ekadasi, which some people, you know, might like. What do you do? What do you do when Ekadasi disappears? Sometimes they don't want to. Others, of course, will do it anyway. Depends on how much you like to take advantage of Ekadasi. Manava Titi, Bhakti Jana. These titis connected to the Lord are the cause of bhakti to appear in our heart. In the same way, places connected to the Supreme Lord are appearing in our heart. So we are not happy to hear about the disappearance of the Lord. Although we know He doesn't really disappear, we know Krishna is always present. We know very well that Jamadhyasya Tonviyat Itaratas Chateswabhikyaswarat. We know that Krishna is all pervading and that everything has its origin in Him. So nothing is to be seen separated from Krishna. We know that. But still, Imagine we would have been there in Dwarka. We would have been there in Dwarka 5,000 years ago when Krishna was there. And that would have been something to see. Narada Muni went there to see the sight. He particularly came for that purpose and visited Krishna in all his 16,108 palaces. In this verse, it refers to Krishna's residence, that state. I mean, don't ask me the question, but I thought Krishna had 16,108 palaces, so did all the 16,108 palaces stay? I mean, I wasn't there, you know, when it flooded. So, I'm not quite... I'm just as bewildered as you are when it says, O King, sparing only his palace, right? Anyway... Why does it say his palace in this verse when there's 16,108 palaces? Well, I don't know. It's like, and I don't really care either about such details. It's not so important, because really what's more important is that Krishna is never under the influence of the material energy, that he's always transcendental. That is the point of this verse. And therefore, but it would have been wonderful if we could have seen Krishna. Of course, you know, mind you, there are in this coming from the pores of Lord Mahavishnu, unlimited universes. And it happens to be so that just in this universe, the one where we are, the Lord appeared. And then the entire creation goes into like billions of years, right? 4.1 billion years ago, the universe came into being. So that's kind of a long period of time. And it's only like 5,000 years ago that the Lord appeared. So think about it, you know, on the whole span of the existence of the universe, living beings are appearing within that universe, and, you know, in different bodies, 8,400,000 of species. And, you know, we now have the human form of life only 5,000 years, which is nothing, after the appearance of the Supreme Lord. See? So it is sort of, you know, it was only yesterday, practically speaking, measured by cosmic time, right? From a cosmic perspective, it's just yesterday, only a moment ago, right? From the perspective of Lord Brahma, it's nothing. Lord Brahma, it says, sees the yugas passing like at such a speed, right? Because his lifespan is so long. That so many yugas are passing so quickly, just as we see clouds passing by in the sky. It's like that. So in this way, a very auspicious moment, actually. We're very close to these pastimes of the Lord, and even closer to Lord Chaitanya. 500 years ago, you can still practically trace it back. You can still historically sort of go back. Even Krishna, there are many historical elements that can still be seen. Kurukshetra is still there. Dwarka, still remnants in the ocean. And gradually, more is being excavated. Something is there. If anybody argues, there are archaeological findings. It's not like wishy-washy vague. It's completely hardcore. You know, hardcore astrological findings. Findings have been archaeological have been there. So in this way, if you want to slap the atheists around the cheeks a little bit or ears a little bit, you can refer to that, right? That there are actually archaeological findings in Dwarka. Sure. And what you have to say about that? Sure. Sure. That's for your information. Yes. But for ourselves, we don't need such things. We just want to relish everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as the sun sets, but not really sets, as the sun still shines somewhere in another country when it's set here, and the line of darkness is moving over the planet, in other words, Krishna never disappears. Krishna's pastimes are always going on in some universe or other. Just now, Krishna, I was told, is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Oh yes, he is. In one universe or other. Just now. Yes. So, the pastimes of the Lord are always taking place somewhere, just now, in some universe or other. Not just now in this universe, but only recently in this universe. And we are graced because now this knowledge is available. A little later, after the golden age will be over, this knowledge will be forgotten. Then nobody will know about Krishna. Vrindavan is gradually becoming more covered, and no one will know. No one will know. No one will have any idea. Except for a few devotees who will still be around and will be in hiding, even at the end of Kali Yuga, in various places. Some devotees will remain.
some great personalities will be involved in reviving the Satya Yuga and reviving the principles of Dharma. In this way, such a thing as disappearance sounds like the end of the world, the end is near. 2012, soon it will all be over, 20th of December, so they say. But there is, the Vedic culture is never seeing an end to anything. In the Vedic concept, everything is going on in cycles. And it's, and actually, the transcendental is always existing, but sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. So this is our understanding. But to the pure devotee, Krishna cannot hide himself. Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. I'm hiding myself from the materialists by my illusory energy, so that they cannot see me. But from the devotee, Krishna cannot hide himself. He cannot. When Krishna left the rasa dance and he had taken on the form of Narayana, although it wasn't his real form, he was just using that form to cover his real form. But ultimately, he could not keep that disguise. When he was confronted with the love of the gopis, then he had to again reveal his original form. That is the nature of Krishna. That he becomes purchased. He becomes purchased by devotional service. It is said Krishna. Krishna, the word Krishna means Krish, from Dhatu, from Akarsam, to attract. It said Krishna is the all-attractive. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, however, gives another interpretation of that attractive, of that root attractive. He says, it means that Krishna can be attracted by love only. He can be attracted by love only. So, this is true. Krishna becomes attracted by love. And the more he is served, and by loving devotional service by his devotee, the more Krishna becomes purchased and is forced to manifest himself. So this is a very nice theme, and I'll save it for Radhastami. So we're just warming up to that. Can't give away all the cream before. So. But we'll get into this on Radhastami. How we can capture Krishna. Because who can capture Krishna more than Srimati Radharani? Krishna can simply, it's like it says in the Gita Govinda, where is Krishna? It says Krishna is on the banks of the Yamuna. What is he doing there? He's learning how to dance. And his mistress, Srimati Radharani, is teaching him all the moves. And he's just like dancing behind her. Wherever she moves, he's just dancing. Gita Govinda, it's nice. How Krishna is controlled. That was a little preview. It's nice how Krishna is captured by love. And then, as Krishna is captured by love, he's forced to reveal himself. He'll hide himself again and again. That's what he'll do. But not for long. Not for long. Again, he has to reveal himself. Therefore, this chapter
the disappearance of Krishna, of Lord Krishna, it can't be the last one. Okay? It's not that after this chapter, the Bhagavatam will end, and it's like the end. And then it was over. It was beautiful. No, it goes on. It goes on after this. Surely, Krishna will reappear. There is no doubt about it. And well, we meditate on that, because otherwise. But meanwhile, we don't like this disappearance so much, because it puts us in separation. So, kind of this Mosalya Leela is not the Vaishnava's favorite. Devotees don't really say, like, I really love these chapters in the 11th canto about Krishna's disappearance. That's my favorite, you know. When he gets shot by the hunter in his lotus foot. I really like that chapter. And someone speaks like that, then something is wrong. No, devotees generally are not into this Mosalya Leela. It said it's not, the Vaishnavas generally don't discuss. Of course, to be complete, it is included in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's not like, and now such and such Swami is going to give a seminar on the Mosalya Leela, right? On all the disappearance pastimes of Krishna. No, we don't. We don't do that. We don't give seminars on this topic. But as we're discussing the Bhagavatam, and as we are getting a complete picture of Krishna, yes, we are discussing. But we're looking at it, at the eternal nature of Krishna. That's the one that warms the heart, you know, the one. That Krishna is eternal, Krishna will always be there, we are eternal, and there is nothing to worry about this destruction. The wind is blowing, and we're sitting here high and dry. But if you're now at sea, right, then it's a little intense out there, a little bit intense. And it's sort of getting time to put the ship in a safe course. Like in this kind of weather, you wouldn't like take the wind from the side, because then the waves come from the side, and that's a bit too much. You wouldn't, you know, if you have to go against the wave, it's going to be very intense in this weather. So when it gets too bad, then one takes the wind sort of a little bit from the back under an angle. Yeah, and the waves from the back, sort of, and ride it out. Yeah. It's difficult to go ashore now. Yeah, difficult. So I have to just stay out there, and ride it out. I know I have done these things. So when the disappearance of Krishna is happening, the materialists is totally swept up by the whole thing. Oh God, Krishna is dead. But we are sitting high and dry. We are not high and dry on the foundation of transcendental knowledge. So we're not affected. Krishna didn't really disappear. Still there. And those who chant have a direct connection, says the Adi Purana. Yeah. By chanting the name of Krishna, says the Adi Purana, you're directly associating with Krishna. So this is our unique feature, which is the special benefit of the Hare Krishna movement. See, Vedic culture is really nice. You can do a yajna, and if you do it right, you know, some Agnihotra Yagyas,
and so on, or in different melodies.
Om Shanti. Everyone's like, oh, this is very, very spiritual. It is very spiritual. It is. And if it is done nicely, it is invoking the mercy of the Lord. And then, if the Lord so desires, by His causeless mercy, He may reveal Himself. But in chanting Hare Krishna, He's already there. We're directly with Him, directly associating with Him. It's only because we are blind. Are you there, Krishna? I don't see you because you're blind. So blindly we are chanting Krishna's name. Blindly we're chanting His name, and He's there, and we're not seeing Him. Something like that story of this Nandulal. We saw on Janmashtami how Lakshmi Moni, she did a dramatic reading of Nandulal. This story of Bilva Mangala Thakur, who has become blind, and this young boy comes and guides him on the way to Vrindavan. Nandulal, this boy is so nice, and he's preaching to him, gradually he begins to realize who this boy is. That is Krishna. Krishna is God. Something like that. Gradually in our chanting, we begin to realize that Krishna is really there. All along. All along He was there. So that's the unique feature of our movement. So we have direct connection. Direct. Just like that joke, you may have heard the joke about the Pope who came to Vrindavan. And he came. You have not heard? Yeah, Pope came. So he came to meet the Vaishnavas, and when he speaking with the Vaishnavas, then in the middle of the discussion, he pulled out a phone, and his phone started ringing. Took a big phone out of his pocket, and he said, "Oh, can I take this call?" And I said, "Very important call." Took the call, and he's speaking. And from the discussion, it sort of became clear that he was speaking with God. So the Vaishnavas are looking like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, you have a... So at the end of the concert, you have actually a direct connection with God. With God. Yes, said the Pope, yes. You want to speak to him? You can use it. He said, but don't make it too long, because a long-distance call, very expensive. Then later, the Vaishnava pulled out a phone also. He said, similar. He said, "Oh, you have one also." He said, "Oh, can I use it?" He said, the Pope, to call the Lord. And then the Vaishnava said, "Yes, speak as long as you like. It's a local call." I'm not the best in telling jokes. But this is our joke. I think this one is quite okay. I don't like these kind of jokes so much, because it's sort of the canned laughter, you know, like if American movie series, there's always this laughing in the back, you know, it's the laughing machine, right? But it's true that in this case, he who laughs last laughs best, and something like that. And that's us, you know. We laugh best because we have a local connection. Krishna is very close. Very close to us. And that is the unique feature of this movement of Lord Chaitanya. We're not criticizing anyone. That's not our... But just somehow or other, that's what Lord Chaitanya gave us. Very easy access to the Supreme Lord. The only problem is we are blind and don't see it. What to do? So any questions, any comments?
I'll give you some more time to crank off the brain. It's like that. That usually there are questions, but when you suddenly say, any questions, as if they never expected it to come. So our point is that we always live with Krishna, every moment. And that's what we forget. And that is like the only problem we have, that we forget that we always live with Krishna. And when we forget, then we are experiencing all this trouble, that trouble, and then we're struggling and so on, because we forget we're living with Krishna. And as soon as we remember that we're living with Krishna, there is no more trouble. Everything is perfect, because we're living with Krishna. Therefore, that's really the situation. Of course, that doesn't mean that we are not facing material difficulty. Srila Prabhupada also was very ill at the end of his life and undergoing difficulties from that. But it didn't carry away his consciousness. Although some things he didn't like. I remember that at one point it was described that Prabhupada had a twitch, some things, a muscle there. And he really didn't like that. But it didn't in any way interfere with his Krishna consciousness, with remembering I'm with Krishna. So in a way, although it was disturbing, insignificant at the same time. No meaning. So therefore, when we remember that we're always with Krishna, there never will be any problems. Never will there be a situation where we're stuck. What do I do now? I don't know what to do anymore. It doesn't exist. Krishna's always there. Now in Krishna.
The devotees that are described that are close to Krishna after his disappearance experience great anguish and anxiety and torment. But at the same time, we are taught, like in your class, that Krishna didn't disappear. We can appreciate that that's maybe their covering of Yoga Maya. So can we look forward to also being covered sometime?
There are two sides, two visions simultaneously. Just like Gopal Kumar, when he came to Tapaloka, he came to the abode, which is where all the residents are absorbed in meditation. And they always meditate on Krishna. But Gopal Kumar was not satisfied. He wanted to see Krishna. So he said, why do you want to see Krishna? Don't you understand that the eye is simply capturing a picture and a signal is sent to the mind, and therefore seeing is really happening in the mind? And if you simply meditate on the Lord in the mind always, then you'll always see the Lord. So there is absolutely no need to see the Lord with your eyes. You just see Him with the mind. But Gopal Kumar, although he couldn't really argue with that logic, right, he felt something is missing. He felt it's not complete. Because Gopal Kumar, he wanted simultaneously to always see the Lord in his heart, in meditation, and simultaneously drink the nectar of seeing the Lord with his eyes. And therefore, although the devotees deep in their hearts know that the Lord has not disappeared, and He's always there. Still they feel the greatest separation, the greatest suffering, that now they cannot see Him with the eyes anymore.
So those faculties are there simultaneous. Isn't that a complication? It's like you always see it in the heart, and yet you completely feel the separation, not seeing. As the gopis can chant that verse in Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma, why didn't he make millions of arts? Why only two? And then they blink as well. And then Uddhava comes with this message that actually Krishna is always there. It's like, you know, you're coming at a time like this to us with philosophy, you know. I mean, really, you know what I mean? He's always there. You're coming with philosophy. When our eyes, when all our senses are just yearning and yearning and yearning and yearning to just like embrace Krishna, and now you're telling us he's always here because he's all pervading. I mean, and you think that will pacify us? I mean, you think that will pacify us? You know, you really go, like, Uddhava didn't get it. You know, he didn't get it. The devotee is always hankering to be with Krishna, to see Krishna, to associate with Krishna, to serve Krishna. The gopis dress up so that Krishna will be pleased seeing them. Then ecstasy increases. So when Krishna is personally present, that's very important. Even although he never leaves, he's always here, but still we want to see him in person. It's even more amazing.
Maharaj, you mentioned previously that in chanting the holy name, if we don't have the proper faith, then we get the counterfeit holy name.
If you don't have the proper faith, then what?
You're chanting the counterfeit holy
name. Oh, the counterfeit.
With regards to blindness, is this blindness a lack of faith? And the other question is, you were saying that faith isn't exactly that we're chanting properly or intensively, all the mechanical processes there. So then what is that faith?
So you're referring to this... this song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The broker. Yodinam kim bebai amar sanga chalo mahajamir kache jai. So if you want to buy the holy name, then come with me now to this Mahaja, to Nityananda Mahaja. It is available for the price of your faith. But if you are trying to get the holy name without any faith, then you get the counterfeit name in the Mahamantra. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains like this. So if we have no faith, then why are we chanting? If we don't have any faith at all that this is Krishna and from here comes the mercy, then why are we chanting? You see? So those who get the counterfeit, and they are chanting for their own glories. Maybe some professional kirtan singer, Hare Krishna. Just for show, maybe. So counterfeit holy name is only for those who are not accepting that he is Krishna, is giving the mercy. So we're not talking about our lack of faith. Our lack of faith is simply sometimes we lack faith in Krishna's mercy, and we think that progress depends too much on our own performance. And we don't think Krishna will surely, surely he will save me. Raksisya titi visvaso, said the surrendered devotee, has full faith. Krishna will surely protect me. Goptritve varanampata, has a great dependence on Krishna. So, our lack of faith is illustrating, or is manifesting in lack of dependence on Krishna. But we believe that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't get the counterfeit name. But we get Nam Abbas, right? We get the reflection of the name. And when the faith is full, then we get Sudanam, the pure name. And the counterfeit name is for atheists who somehow or other want to use the name for personal gain. They get the counterfeit. Finished? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.